It had been predicted by some, feared by many more. But European leaders see Russia's move to halt gas supplies to Poland and Bulgaria because they won't pay in rubles as aggressive.
It comes as no surprise that the Kremlin uses fossil fuels to try to blackmail us. This is something the European Commission has been preparing for in close coordination and solidarity with member states and international partners. Our response will be immediate, united and coordinated.
Moscow says countries can still pay for gas imports in euros or dollars, but only if they open Russian bank accounts, which then convert the currency and make the final payment. It's thought some countries have already done so. But Bulgaria, which gets the vast majority of its gas supplies from Gazprom, is not one of them.
We will not succumb to such a racket. Bulgaria is reviewing all agreements with Gazprom, including the agreement on gas transit through Bulgaria, because one-sided blackmail is not acceptable.
The Polish president has promised to take legal action, but the prime minister is insisting there's no immediate threat, saying storage facilities are three-quarters full, higher than in most of Europe.
As I've emphasised many times, Poland had previously prepared to diversify supplies and obtain gas from various sources. Even before the Baltic gas pipeline is launched, we'll be able to protect our economy, to protect Polish households from such a dramatic step by Russia.
Some Warsaw residents, if not all, seem reassured. This man says shutting down gas supplies might end up harming Russia. He says his country has reserves. While this woman wonders how much Poles like her will have to pay for developments linked to the Ukraine war, saying things are already incredibly expensive. The EU's biggest economy, Germany, has been the most reluctant to end gas imports from Russia. But on Wednesday, it said it was speeding up efforts to find alternatives, including liquefied natural gas.
I can say that our Russian gas dependency, which was at 55% before the war and dropped to 40% a few weeks ago, is now at 35%.
So for now, the common message is there's no need to panic. But it's hard to say how Russia's move will play into the existing energy price crisis across Europe. Nadine Barber, Al Jazeera.
Russian President Vladimir Putin says Ukraine was pushed to clash with Russia, and Moscow's reaction was just and fair. Speaking to politicians in St. Petersburg, he warned that any country that interferes in Ukraine will face consequences.
If anyone would want to interfere with what's happening in Ukraine now from the outside, they have to know Russia's response will be swift and fast. We have all sorts of tools that the West cannot obtain, and we will not boast of our weapons, but we will use them if need be, and I want everyone to know that.
Dost Jabari has this update from Moscow.
The Russian president is not really passing up this opportunity to reiterate the reasons that he felt it was necessary for him to make the decision to send the Russian troops into Ukraine in what he calls a special military operation that is now in its 63rd day. Vladimir Putin, as we just heard, had a very strong and stern warning for those countries that are assisting Ukraine in the fight against the Russian troops. He said that they're basically fair game for the Russians, and that this is a fight between Russia and Ukraine, and that the third countries that are getting involved really have no right to do so, and that he feels that he will be forced to make a decision as to whether or not to use all the tools that are at his disposal to ensure a victory for the Russian military. Now, Vladimir Putin was also speaking quite a bit about the objectives that he set out for his legislative officials about ensuring that Russia's economy stays intact, and he said that the attempts that have been made by the Western powers to try to cripple Russia's economy through severe sanctions have failed, and that Russia is standing still and they are not going to allow its economy to crumble. He also urged the officials that he was speaking to, he said they have to work on anti-crisis measures, and also they have to strengthen the country's sovereignty. There's a lot of emphasis on trying to basically ensure that Russia's economy stays strong and that the ruble doesn't plummet like it did a few weeks ago.
to what's happening on the battlefield. And Mariupol city officials say Russia continues to strike the last remaining Ukrainian army positions there with 35 aerial hits since Monday. Thousands of Ukrainian fighters and civilians are in underground tunnels and chambers below the Azovstal steel plant. Last week, Vladimir Putin ordered troops not to storm the plant but blockade it. Russia agreed in principle to allow the UN and the Red Cross to help evacuate civilians from the steel plant in Mariupol after Putin's meeting with the UN Secretary General on Tuesday.
In the Mariupol direction, the enemy is exerting massive fire and blocking our units in the area of the Azovstal plant. In the city, occupiers continue to carry out filtration measures against the civilian population.
And there have been protests in Kyiv demanding safe humanitarian corridors out of the Azovstal steel plant. Mothers and wives of soldiers fighting in Mariupol attended the demonstrations. Agreements between Ukraine and Russia to allow safe passage of fighters and civilians have failed so far. Ukrainian forces are also confronting the Russian military in the east. Fierce fighting has been reported in Mykolaiv and Kherson in the southeast. Russian forces also shelled the town of Lyman. In southern Ukraine, the Russian military has fired tear gas and stun grenades at protesters in the city of Kherson. People are rallying against what they're calling a sham referendum. Ukraine says Russia is planning to hold a staged vote in the Kherson region to try and show popular support for the creation of a Russian-backed republic. Kherson is occupied by Russian troops, and residents have been protesting against their presence for weeks.